Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Ronald Clark on the technical side. And before I go back to the phone lines, I have this WhatsApp I'd like to read. Person says, whose responsibility is it to remove derelict vehicles? What's the governance structure in place to ensure that there are no abandoned cars? Where there's governance, there tends to be results, cause and effect. Why don't you see these unsightly vehicles in the terraces and heights? Is cleanliness a class thing, or are the landscape a sore evidence of a growing disrespect for rules and orderly society? A question that should be answered. Remember, we break at 12:30 for the latest, so we try to get through as many calls as possible. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Hello, you're on the air. Listen, please, to your radio and not... Sorry, listen, please, to your telephone and not your radio. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Let's try another one, Ronnie. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Go right ahead, my dear.
Mr. Price?
It is. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm so glad that you talk about those old car parts this morning. I was in the living room cleaning. There's a lot of abandoned cars up.
Hello? What happened there? Oh, okay. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Come again. Good afternoon. You're on the air? All right. We seem to be having a little technical hitch there. Ronnie will try to organize that. And speaking about the old vehicles, this person is talking about Nazarene Gap, Shop Hill, St. Thomas, vehicles overgrown with bush, etc. Two-lane road, now one-lane road. And even that is a question mark at times because you have to maneuver through the gap. Oh, boy. Let's go back to the phone lines again. You're on the air. Good afternoon. We're having a little... You're on the air. Yes, you're on the air. Good. All right. Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Yes. Sanka Price.
It is.
That's good. Good to hear you. First time caller.
Nice hearing you, sir.
Good. I would add my little 2 cents to the debate of here talking about the holding the MPs accountable for their actions, knowing that the Miss News funds, they're so over by the court. And the monies that they was paid to the transport board, that they don't have a profitable bus running out and stuff like that. Everybody know that.
Who I happen to know who it is, who called, who was a member of the last government called in. He made the point, as long as money goes into the consolidated fund, the politician does not have direct access to that. So that's why I told Mark Williams earlier, and I'm telling you and I'm telling everybody else who will call on this issue, you cannot be making statements, making certain accusations against members of the former government like this. You can't do that. There is no evidence at this point that we can take to a court of law. If there was such evidence, then let that take its course. What we can say is that taxes were exacted from us as citizens, and the money was there, but nothing was done. We can't see the results of that, but we cannot, and we must desist. Are you going to put this station in trouble from trying to make it out that these people are corrupt? Don't do it. You cannot do it. There's no evidence as yet. Okay, let's take another call. Good afternoon, you're on the air. It's 12:12.
Good afternoon.
You were the young lady I was speaking to just now.
Yes, and I get cut off.
No, you didn't get cut off. The call just dropped out.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. It just, boom, just went off.
I was calling. There's a lot of old car parks up on Loudersill in Christchurch.
Loudersill, Christchurch, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. And there's a guy who operates.
R.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
You're on the air? Okay. Something went on there. All right. Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air now. Okay. All right, well, we sort that one out. We just look at this other person here is talking about where we have a situation here again in Lions Castle. The corner of First Avenue, Welchmore Hall. Then there's Bryan Road. These are now on Highland. These are a number of places in St. Thomas where you have vehicles, and they would like to see something done about that. And this other person here, they've actually conked them. This person is saying, Mr. Price, I would like to thank you for your initiative in eradicating these old cars from communities. There are 37 old abandoned cars on Clark's Pasture, my Lars Hill, St. Michael, below the Rubis gas station. These cars are causing a nightmare for residents. And the person writes all caps with exclamation marks, help, help, help. This is a problem, people, a real problem.
Iran? I thought Iran caught me.
Sir, you're on the air. Go right ahead. Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes.
What I would like to see happen in the New Zadar terminal, whereas that I think that those vehicles should be under shelter in a single lane process, whereas that, so for instance, when you see your vehicle that you need to catch, to go straight there, and no one can come alongside and push out. It will be done in an ordinary fashion like it's in Trinidad. And that should be looked at. Another problem is the uniform. They're not wearing the uniforms directly and things like that. So what about the taxes with the vehicles? Whereas persons are complaining that they have to pay the tax. So in case that you, say for instance, your vehicle was off for at least about, say, 2 years per going to three, would you not have written the authorities and let them know that your vehicle was off the road? So in case then that then asks you to pay a tax, you wouldn't have that problem, right?
The normal procedure is that you would write to let the people know that your vehicle is off the road. So things would fall up. Well, normally if it's off the road, that means you wouldn't be paying any taxes. However, when it's going to come back onto the road, I'm speaking under correction here now, there would be an you would need to get it inspected, not necessarily by MTW, but it would normally be inspected. A roadworthy certificate and that sort of thing has to be done, and then the necessary taxes will be paid as per normal. Don't complicate this thing, you know. Don't complicate this thing.
No,
I think people are looking at all sorts of scenarios to complicate it. Don't complicate it.
Yeah, but what I say, I know that what happens when you have a vehicle and it's off the road, you wrote the authorities. And then they would come and inspect because see, oh, so that if you have to bring it back on, they would know that you're off the road and you won't got to pay that back tax. So I think that's where people getting confused.
So, all right. I ain't dealing with people getting confused. I'm dealing with you right now. The thing about it is, look, this the prorating of the it was between June 12th and June 30th, okay? That's the only area there where you can get some sort of relief from your road tax, all right?
So road tax, that is due now. They will have to pay that. No, persons who do know.
But no, sir. Remember, road tax was eliminated after July 1st. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you had to pay your road tax, and if you paid your road tax between the announcement of it, that is between June 12th and June 30th, and you write the Ministry of Finance and explain that you paid your road tax between that period of time, then you'll get 75% of what you paid back.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, everything else, all the other questions and all the other things, scenarios that you bring here, these things would have existed prior to this whole thing.
Well,
those things still exist.
Yeah.
Okay, is the only thing that you wouldn't have to pay anymore is the road tax. So don't complicate this thing.
I ain't complicating, but I was just checking to find out why I was hearing lots of different stuff, right?
But yeah, but you hear a lot of things, and you see a lot of things on social media too, but don't complicate the thing. It's between June 12th, June 30th. If you paid your road tax during that period, you will get 75% back of the money. All the other things that used to exist before, they continue. All the other systems are still in place. So don't complicate it. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
It's 12:19. We try to take a couple more calls before our latest at 12:30. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I want to touch on three things. Hello?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, those to do with the old cars and so on.
Yes, please.
There's a lot on when you're going from Tudor Bridge across Grisette's Road. The Bear, before you turn through that, opposite the Bear.
We now lost another call. Okay. All right, let's go to another call. And I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a little technical hitch there. So that's what happened there. As you've seen, we've lost a number of calls. All right. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Is this the lady from Lothers Hill, Christchurch?
Yes. I want to get in. I really want to make this call.
Yes, you certainly do. This is your third call.
Yes, all right. Please.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy out here. He's run a car business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot get into my home. From the time I step out my door, the old park car parts got me blocked off. There's about just like we walk there, about 4 inches to walk through. The old car parts, like the car doors, the car doors,
mm-hmm.
and the what's called the bumper.
Bumpers, yeah.
Right. All of them right in front of me. Then there's an old house below me that got a lot of car parts and a lot of big rocks and things being it running through. I really want some help. That's the truth, mm-hmm. Mr. Bryce. I really want you send somebody to come and look at it.
Yeah.
Everybody complaining, and then they got the cars parked in front of people's driveway. People can't get into the room.
Yeah.
And when I go down, or you stay to the environmental place, I don't see nobody come. And the fella just tell me that he know people, he got people in high places, and I could go 99 times, they can't do nothing. But I really want some help. That's the truth.
All right.
A lot of confusion out here.
All right. Lothers Hill, Christchurch.
Yes, Lothers Hill in Christchurch.
Lothers Hill in Christchurch. All right. Thank you very much. And I do apologize for the little technical hitch, but these things will happen. Okay. Thank you. And this person is writing at Lodge Terrace, Eden Lodge. There is a whole heap of cars. And when you come to the junction, you can't see up or down. It is very dangerous. This person is writing to us. We try to take one more call at least before we go to the latest. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, finally. You've been cut off three times.
I do apologize for that.
Yeah,
we got a little problem. We got a little problem.
Uh-huh. It's not your fault. However, I want to talk about transportation too, but let me start out by saying that I am not complaining about all the drivers at the transport board. Some of them are my friends. They're very decent people. But you have one or two bad apples which need to be highlighted. Now, 2 weeks ago, a guy got on the bus, and he asked the driver, where is where do you put the money? Clearly, he was not a Barbadian. He's a black American, right?
Mm-hmm.
He asked the driver three times, and the driver just kept staring and wouldn't answer him. So finally, when the guy got the phone, where he had to put this fare, he put it in, and when he was getting off the bus, he asked the driver, well, why did you behave that way to me? And if you hear the vulgar language that this driver, you know, came up with, and I was in the bus, and he cussed that guy out. I said, well, this is a bad image for Barbados, because when that guy goes back to America, what is he going to be able to say about Barbados? This is terrible. So I tell the guy, I say, listen, there is a place where you can make your complaints. And I showed him the ticket number, the bus driver and everything, and he went to the transport board, and he complained because I did call in to support him. And they told me up there that the guy did come in, and they're going to have to do something because they've had more complaints about him before. And I'm saying, that same driver, I remember some time ago, I had asked him a question about the location I was going, I wasn't sure. And he didn't pay me any attention. So then when I insisted, he said, well, you know, I'm driving, I didn't hear you. But in truth, in fact, the reason why he could not hear me, because he had a radio down a bag which he was listening to. And that's why he didn't hear me. And I'm saying, some of them are still using cell phones when they're not supposed to be on the transport board. I told them, you're not to do it. So I'm saying a lot of people are violating the laws in Barbados and doing as they please. That's what brings me now to the ZR drivers. They're dressing anyhow, you know, and the vulgar language, sometimes children on the minibus, and the language they use, and the vulgar music, and loud and everything, nobody can tell them anything. You have no rights once you step in there. And I'm saying that sometimes the pants all pulled down, and it looks real disgraceful. And I'm saying, for example, up at Warren's there on mornings, they block the road there. And even the government transport board bus cannot get there, and the bus will pass you sometimes because they got the bus stop part blocked off.
This is just after the polyclinic.
Yes. And sometimes the bus, inadvisably, will stop higher up, and if you don't know to walk up there, then you miss the bus and maybe they've been there for a long time. This is nonsense. And I'm saying that, hey, we got a rule in this country. We're really not supposed to play music and do all these things. And I'm saying that a traffic policeman cannot be everywhere, and I'm saying the police in general, whether it be traffic cops or not, to me, they have the obligation, when you see people violating the law, to charge them. Because something has to be done about these people. They have the law unto themselves. I know they're asking for more money, and they ain't concerned with anybody. They're concerned with getting more money. And the head of that union, he is only concerned with getting money for them and complaining about the problems that they have with maintenance vehicles and all that. But he's not concerned about the kind of behavior that maintains on those places. So I'm saying, look, if the government is going to be serious about these things, they're going to have to start creating the whole thing from top to bottom. If they want to get money from these people who they say are private people and they're not getting sufficient taxes, outside the road tax maybe, then there has to be a complete investigation and audit about the amount of money these people make. Mm-hmm. And the owners will have to somehow or the other make sure that there are people who are decent and who are well-being and who are maintaining the law, and you have to get it right. Now, a guy calling to you earlier about the vehicles that are abandoned all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying he suggested to you that they should be to look at the number of the last license or whatever. But some of these numbers are defaced. You can't see them. So to me,
mm-hmm.
the government right now, the Prime Minister in particular, is asking that people, I think there's a suggestion box or something like that where you can say ideas for Barbados. Well, here's an idea. I have one better than what you guys suggested. And you know what to do? If the government would collect all of these vehicles, have some broad location and a workshop where you can have these vehicles fixed by young people under the guidance of people who know what they're doing, fix them up, make them roadworthy, or sell the parts and get money coming into the place so the young people get work and the government will collect money too. Get these abandoned things off the road, blocking up the road, and people can't pass and all that because they have no discretion all in these neighborhoods. And another thing too, you have a situation where drivers of all kinds are parking indiscriminately all over Barbados on the sidewalks. And when you talk to them, they're more angry than you, even though the government made the payment for the people so you don't walk in the road. If you're walking the road and say, well, you don't get my payment, when you get my payment, they block the payment, and when you tell them something, they're vexed. I say, well, suppose it's the person who is visually impaired. what are they supposed to do? And they get highly annoyed. So I'm saying when the police, regardless of whether traffic cops, see these people illegally parked, they should be able to ticket them or do some, find them or something. And because one ex-police commissioner told me, sometimes the police drive too fast through these neighborhoods, and sometimes they're going to have to drive a little slower instead of driving so fast. And old time policemen used to either ride a bicycle or they would walk. And that way you can see what's going on in the neighborhood, because many police cars drive through so fast they can't see what's going on. And if you have, for example, like in Swan Street, you've got two policemen who are walking together up the street. Criminals are watching them and seeing how they're going. So by the time they go up the road, people can do things behind their back. But if you have one policeman walking up and one walking down, then the chances of you spotting something are far greater than if you let all both of them walk in the same direction.
Okay, sir. Well, look, thank you very much. We have to break for the latest. We'll be right back. Good afternoon. You are on the air.
What's that?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you today?
Not as well as you, but I'm biding.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I called in a connection with this old vehicles up on the road. There was one here in Linister Road. It's about 4 years now. Why would like to see that road clear, man?
So it's just on the road like that?
Huh?
It's just on the road like that? I mean,
that's parked alongside the road now. There's about 4 years.
Person didn't come back yet. Boy.
Person to see it every day, in and out of the state. But to be honest, it's an eyesore for the neighborhood, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I feel so.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much for holding. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. That lady that called just now, which was complaining about the health inspectors and ice things, that is so true. They're bigger than me. It seems like they have nobody in control over there. When you call up there, you can't get nothing to do. Sometimes they say to you, this person's on vacation, so you have to wait till they come back out. When you call downtown to complain, you're getting a kind of something been going on for a while. They will tell you, we want the government change, you get it changed, we expect. So I think the minister...
Are you serious?
Yeah. That was what was told to me. You see, want the government, when they say when they want the government change, when they expect to get better, when they say when they get better, when they want now. And that is when you call to speak to the minister. You know who they will put you to tutor when you want to get to the minister. And that's about it. So I think that minister need to do some reshuffling, shaking up. Because he ain't getting nothing to do. He ain't getting nothing to do. Not in Eustace. Somehow there's a problem with Eustace. Don't care how you call, what you call about, there is a problem with Eustace. And it seems that nobody can get the change. So what that lady saying in the light, like they know somebody or they got somebody in the pocket.
Wow. This person here is saying, and I thank you for your call, but this person here is saying, how is it that people will call a government department about a public health matter and get no response? Do the people of MTW and the health department know they have a duty to the public? And if they don't, who makes them accountable? Okay.
I don't know, because the lady said, oh, and soon I want the government change, when I get the government change, what do I expect? So it ain't changing that part.
All right.
So we need it changed. So I hope the minister is hearing what's going on and get some shaking up from a pawnity foot and come down.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. We take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am calling to verify what this lady just said about calling to Oysters about the health inspectors. It is so correct because I have had a problem too. I was calling about a similar matter and they told me this body's on vacation and this body's something and this something and something, and everything just sounds so awful, out of existence.
So, if you don't mind, could you say what the nature of your problem was that you were calling?
I was calling to tell them that where I am living, there is a lot of bush around the area, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, I did say, well, it belongs to somebody, and they refuse to clean it. And I asked them if they do not go around to places anymore and check. And the gentleman who answered said, well, this person is on vacation, so you will have to wait until the person comes back out. I said, seriously? That's how you operate? That's how you all operate now? I said, I can remember when the health inspectors will come out to our place and make sure the grease trap is good and everything is good and nothing is around the place to, you know, to encourage mosquitoes. So all of a sudden, now you have to wait until somebody comes back from vacation. I said, so what about you? What are you doing? He said he was just on the phone and talking to somebody. I said, you were talking to somebody? I said, so you're gonna take my information or my concern and write it down and leave it until this person comes back on vacation? I mean, this is also asinine. It's so real stupid.
Yeah, it really does. And the fact that they're separate calls and you're all complaining about the same place is very, very concerning as well. Oh dear. Yes, I think I'm hearing your radio in the background. You have to...
I'm outside in the back patio.
Oh, okay. All right. And so has the bush been cut down? Or
no. No, because remember the person probably is still on vacation.
So how long ago was this?
This was this very year. I called last year. Nothing happened. And I called again this year. And the same thing. I have to wait until somebody comes back from vacation.
So there's no what do you call it? There's no neighborhood watch in your area that people can get together,
no,
and maybe do anything
so.
In that area?
No. Not in this area. No.
Wow. That's really terrible. Well, don't forget, you have also the constituency representative, the member of parliament for your constituency. You can go to call his or her office and report it as well. I that's all I could suggest. No, I'm at a loss for words, quite frankly. I can't believe that you can actually call a government department and people can talk to you in that manner. They don't even know who they're talking to, so I just can't believe that. You know,
it sounds
unbelievable.
Ridiculous! It is ridiculous, especially when they have to tell you have to wait until this person's come back from vacation. I mean,
thankfully, is that is not normally the things for most government departments and. You know, thankfully, it is not. All right, well, I'll try to thank you very much for your call. I want to get a couple more calls in, so you have a great day, and I hope you can get this problem resolved pretty soon. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Yes, I am fine, thank you. And you?
Good, I'm blessed.
That's good to
hear. I am calling to verify what is being said on the radio. I have been trying.
About what? Oh, this is Oyston's
too? Problems. Yes, please. I have an old friend who lives in Rendezvous that can't see very well. And I've been trying to get them to come to give him some help because the neighbor water is running into his backyard and he cannot go out in his backyard. And all I have been trying, calling, leaving messages, I'm getting no help for to come to help him.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear, dear. That's not nice at all.
And he cannot step out in his backyard. All the water from the neighbor's house is in his backyard.
The thing is that people are writing to us on the WhatsApp, and they're saying you're not even seeing health inspectors.
That's a fact.
You know, I am always... I'm always hesitant to just heap blame on government departments, the people who are working in these areas, because I know that there are a lot of people who work in government who work very, very hard to do their jobs and to get it, you know, to do an efficient job. And it's really sad when just a few, one or two people who make them look bad.
Yeah,
I'm flabbergasted just to hear about the situation with Oysteins. I mean, all you different people calling about one place.
Yeah.
Something is obviously wrong.
And I don't even live in Christchurch. That's the thing about it. I've just been trying to get help for him.
Okay. A person is writing me here saying, Mr. Price, if you're at loss for... Mr. Price, if you're at loss for words... Well, loss for words... you obviously don't have a reason to call most government departments. This has been going on for years.
Oh, well. And I was shocked myself.
I see. All right, well, I certainly hope that you have to continue. As I advised the other young lady just now, that if you're not getting any response directly, this is a new government in power, call their constituency offices, let them know what is happening so that at least they can use their good offices to apply some pressure, because this cannot be right.
Mr. Price, I did that yesterday.
Okay.
I called the constituency because that gentleman needs help. He cannot see properly. Okay. And you, even if he could have seen properly, you have no right letting your water come to disturb some person else. Your water should not be running from your place into somebody else's yard.
This person here is writing, I went to the health inspector's office at Oysteins to make a report, and there was no one in the office. That was about 3 months ago.
It is despicable.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Anyway, you have a good day.
And so do you. Have a great day yourself. We try to get at least one more call in. Good afternoon, you're on Brass Tacks. You're on Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Mr. Price.
Yes, go right ahead.
Good day to you.
Good day to you as well.
And this is the first time I'm getting the opportunity to speak to you.
Well, I hope it's going to be a pleasant one then.
It is indeed. But it's a personal matter and I want to speak to you off air, where you can get my number.
All right. You have to call us back at 430-7300. Yes, 430-7300. Just leave a number and I'll call you back. Okay? We take another call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi.
Oh, don't start that again, please. All right. The theme is on the background and... Let me just use this occasion to draw a number of things to your attention. First of all, we've had a number of people calling, well, not calling, writing. Well, a few called, but mostly writing. And basically, on my count, only about four parishes have not been touched. And this is regarding the old car situation, abandoned cars all over the place. I'm going to try to follow up all this information that you sent in here, and we'll see what sort of action that we can get on it, because I think the time has come for us as citizens in this country to try our best to make things happen. We can no longer sit back and just say, well, oh, the government has to do this and the government has to do that. We, the citizens, we, the taxpayers, we have got to get up for our butts and make sure that things happen, because we have real power in our hands. And we demonstrated that on May 24th. And the politicians recognize that. And it's about time we start using our power. This country is not looking clean at all. And I'm being circumspect with my words, because quite frankly, the place looks stink. There's garbage all over the place still. There's these old abandoned cars. We know what the garbage problem is. Fine, that they're trying to fix that. Okay. But you see these abandoned cars? We have got to start keeping some noise about this. We've got to find out why and how we can go about getting it done in all the different parishes and the different constituencies, because it can be done. It's not impossible. Anyhow, I hope to be back with you on Sunday. We have a special program lined up for you. On behalf of my producer, Ronald Clark, and of course my telephonist, Mr. Kevin KB Clean, KB Hines. I'd like to thank you for being such a lovely audience. Hear you next time. Bye-bye.